fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Greg Brady, Andrew Walker. Mornings suddenly got more intense. Let's go! This is Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Hey now, 5:30. It's Brady and Walker, Greg Brady and Ben Ennis in once again for Andrew Walker. And if you say to yourself, I just saw Ben Ennis on television,
you're still
it's
seeing
not true.
Me.
It's not true. It was a double, a body double.
That's right.
No, it was you.
Those shows are live. Except not.
Don't know
it's
how
on
you,
tape.
I mean, I don't know how you get talked into a lot of things, but you got talked into doing the late night, at least on the East Coast. See, you're prime time in on the West Coast, right?
That's right. I'm big in
for
Vancouver.
Vancouver base. You're huge in Castlegar, Kelowna, interior BC mountains.
Yeah, you didn't know that, but they love the Ben Ennis. Yeah, I'm all over the place, Greg.
But you were there. You were on television with Carolyn Cameron, probably leading with Johnny Football.
No, we led with the AL wild card.
That's
Phillies,
depressing.
Mariners.
Bad news at the end.
Yeah, well,
or no, you do like a kicker, like the water skiing squirrel in Anchorman, to end with
right.
that.
No, we had show. You know we've gotten a lot of mileage the last couple of days out of Ashley Young getting a bird poop in his mouth. That's the
heard about it and I didn't see it.
Okay,
it's pretty graphic.
Is it like the Paul George thing? You don't want to see it. It's pretty similar, right?
I remember the first I was picked up from Camp Manitouwabing in 1987, and I'd missed my parents for 3 weeks. I was 15 years old, and they said, anything you want to do today. I said, let's stop off at Exhibition Stadium and go to the Jays game on the way home. And they're like, you know, they drove all the way up to Parry Sound, got me. But we made it in time, and a giant bird poop landed on my leg in about the second inning out in the outfield at the X.
And that was
I don't think it happens at the Rogers Center. I don't think people get. Because there just aren't the seagulls that there were at the other place.
I beg to differ. Ivanka Osmak would tell you that she's been pooped on with the roof closed, mind you, which is a difficult task. That's good luck, though,
really?
Right? Yeah. She was pooped on. And in her hair, too. It's not good.
And it's really Ken Reed's not the suspect. It's the bird.
No, Ken Reed was there with her, though. It's difficult.
What a coincidence.
That's a bad break. With the roof closed, you get pooped on. It's supposed to be good luck. I don't know what it means when it lands in your
mouth.
Danny
Sheridan's USA Today odds would not have strong odds for you being
pooped on,
number two'd on with a closed roof environment.
No,
but it
no.
happened. And then this Ashley Young thing was took the. I thought the highlight of the week was we talked about yesterday was the West Ham the guy running onto the field in the skinny jeans and taking the free kick and nearly scoring.
Yeah.
On the hammers, but it was actually the bird defecation.
Yeah, inside a human's mouth. Yeah, no, that was one in a million shot, Doc. One in a million shot.
Now, so also last night there was a NFL preseason game that featured the Cleveland Browns and Washington, and Cleveland came away with the story, but more so for Johnny Manziel, not less so for his play. Washington won 24-23. I mean, I can tell you how Connor Shaw and Kirk Cousins played.
Connor Shaw stole the show.
Colt McCoy is now a Washington player. Like, again, I wouldn't. Would you have known that before the festivities opened last night?
No.
Colt McCoy was going against his former team last night. I wouldn't have known that.
Good to see him again, though.
Sure.
Miss me some Colt. I love the McCoys.
Somebody took him in a fantasy draft listening to us right now. And,
sure.
In his
hating
rookie
themselves.
Season. In 2012 and thought it was all going
to
work out, or 2011.
I'm more of a Case McCoy guy, but yeah, I'll take it Colt.
More of a Stony Case guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the attention drifted to Johnny Manziel, who was 7 of 16, did throw a touchdown pass, but he also flipped the finger to the Washington bench.
Can't
and,
do that.
No, you can't. But, it got me thinking about the finger in general. Like, we're offended. People are offended by the finger because they're told to be offended by the finger.
Right.
It doesn't really impugn your rights or your...
You know England pretty well. I mean, the finger is not the finger in England, right? It's a different finger.
The
There's
finger
two,
is
fingers,
the two fingers.
Two
and you got to turn them around. Make sure you turn them around at the person, too.
Right. Yeah. So it's different different cultures. I think that's just a North American thing, right?
So if he was playing a game at Wembley, an NFL game at Wembley, he would have been a finger short.
It would have been fine. He wouldn't have had any
problems.
Look
at the headline. I mean, are we... I know we live in an age of overreacting to things.
Come on.
You want to properly react. Manziel's gesture taints Brown's loss to the R word.
Well, Greg, come on. First of all, it's the dog days of summer. Secondly, it's Johnny football, right? Like, he knows, and there was a great shot yesterday, great vine people were showing from the broadcast of the Browns PR guy coming over to Johnny football, and you could see the moment he told him, hey, listen, we caught that on videotape. You flipping the bird, you're going to have to answer for this after the game. It's just a stupid move. Yeah. He knows everything he does is going to be criticized
and,
so heavily.
And Manziel's reaction was just like, oh.
It's oops.
It's like when I find out Walker's coming back from vacation.
Right, really. Yeah. We assume it's going to happen. He is in Russia after all.
And he doesn't have many hobbies in Toronto proper. So, you know, he'd rather do the show than... Doing the show is kind of his social life. So.
Yeah, seems that way.
But either way, the finger is one of those things where, yeah, if you go to elementary school, I'm not recommending this. If you go to elementary school in a couple weeks, kids, and you show it to the teacher, goodness knows what can happen. But I always wonder, should it be as it's always going to be that one gesture? Like it's going to be the gesture that you just simply don't do to somebody else.
Well, and. On and a broadcast, it's the only thing we can tell that he did. I mean, if he drops a couple F-bombs at Redskins players,
we never know. Guys are doing it at him as well.
Yeah.
As he said, there's a lot of talk back and forth. I get it every game, and I chose to react to it, and I made a mistake.
If he goes for the nose scratch on the side of the nose with the middle finger, maybe it's a little more subtle, and we're not talking about it today.
Yeah, enough Washington players, a couple Cleveland players stepped up for him and said, stuff this guy hears is so beyond unprintable.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm just, wham for the finger.
Really. Wham, wham all around.
5:36, it's Brady and Walker, Greg Brady, Ben Ennis. We'll do Now and Then with Ryan Favreau coming up at 5:50. The Blue Jays did not play last night. They didn't get help in the division, but they got mild help in the wild card race. We'll explique. It's going to be a high of 22 degrees today. Sunny sky. It's going to be actually a gorgeous Tuesday. We might not get any rain until tomorrow in the afternoon. 5:36, Brady and Walker. It's the name of the show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Back at it, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now and Then, this date in history, coming up August 19th. Had a death in your television family last night with the passing of 96-year-old Don Pardo, who'd, for a generation way previous to mine... And Ben's announced on Jeopardy. He was the original announcer on The Price is Right before Johnny Olson. But he's most well-known as he was a full-time NBC announcer. And they said, we're doing this little startup project in the fall of 1975. I don't know how long it's going to go, called Saturday Night Live. And he was the original announcer in the Aykroyd Belushi Chase first season. And then stuck with the show. And that's where I remember hearing him first. I actually remember also hearing him on a Weird Al Yankovic song.
Yeah, one about Jeopardy.
Yeah, I lost on Jeopardy, which was a parody of the Greg Kinn Band's hit from the previous summer.
More fun to imitate, Casey Kasem or Don Pardo?
Probably for me, Casey Kasem. But I was looking at on YouTube last night for clips very late, for clips of Don Pardo. And then you'd get people doing impressions of him, so you'd just hear, like, Jane Curtin.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's, yeah, exactly. Dan Aykroyd. But it was incredible. And then they showed Tina Fey must have come back and guest hosted the six seasons ago, which is felt like she was on the show six seasons ago, but she was on the show, she left the show 8 years ago.
Oh, my God.
And, but he came out and they blew out a birthday cake and he was 90.
Wow.
And he was still doing... stuff on the show at 11:30 at night until 1 a.m. Your job's not over till 1 and you're 91 years old.
Well, there were times in there, from what I was reading, he was pre-taping some stuff from his home in Arizona, but there was a time as well NBC was
now,
like...
that's Bob McCown you're thinking of. Yeah, so at that point, you know, just to make things a little easier.
Not in Vegas. But yeah, no, and they were flying him back, though. Eventually they said, nah, this ain't going to fly, Don. I know you're 90, but we got to get you on that flight, that red eye into New York City to go. Go live.
You and I can talk about how long we'd want to live. I don't know how many times I'd want to fly in my late 80s either. The modern day airport is quite an inconvenient matter.
Walker was talking about this last week with Edwin Encarnacion.
Well,
he has flying
restrictions. Walker does. So
right. He could be a fighter pilot. He's short enough. Just like Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise can stand on his shoulders.
Yeah. No, it's what if, he's flying first class. Really? Is it that big?
You're 88.
No,
I don't care.
You're sitting in a chair.
Just passing through security and being going through time zones.
Oh, give me a break.
The time-space continuum. Anyway, Don Pardo passed away of in his sleep. We assume of natural causes. I assume
foul
that's
play.
What it is. I don't think there'll be four autopsies there. And then last night as well, very compelling. You're getting your TV highlight festivities ready probably, and the Missouri stuff was beyond compelling.
I had it on
again last night.
Yeah, I had it on CNN, and finally CNN is covering it live, and they've got anchors there all night. See what's going on.
There were two people shot, but police do deduce that the shootings were not from the police, not from the National Guard, but basically person on person. There were 31 people arrested in Ferguson last night.
I don't know what's going on there, Greg.
I don't know how it ends because if you're a townsperson, if you live in Ferguson, you do need some type of protection. There has been lawlessness. There has been looting. And I understand a lot of the protesters. It's their right and it's their constitutional. They would say God-given right to protest,
right?
But you also want to be safe, and so you need a police presence there. But do you need guys in absolute full riot gear on tanks with semi-machine guns pointed at the citizens? Don't know. I don't know what stops it.
There's
not going to be a trial in this case for months. So when does this particular segment of an end?
I don't necessarily even mind the images of the big trucks and the riot police. What I mind is the nonviolent protesters being arrested. I mean, you've got community leaders leading nonviolent protests and media members being arrested. I mean, it seems like that half the town is arrested every single night, and the media's not allowed to do their job. Now, what I read yesterday is what they've got the media in this sort of staging area where they'll limit their access to what they can have. And now they've started picking and choosing individual media members to go embed with the police. And that's supposed to, they're hoping, I'm sure, to change the message from the police.
Like in broad daylight, they have CNN's Don Lemon reporting there. And just as they threw back to him from their main broadcast center in Atlanta, he was getting jostled by the cops for the whole group to move out of where they'd been all day long. And they said, we got security issues here. We're moving everybody out. And right live on television, he's holding the microphone and the cops kind of grabbing his shoulder and pulling him back.
It is compelling television, Greg. Yeah. Yesterday as well, first I heard about Amnesty International showing up, and they were pushed around by the police as well. It's getting, obviously the president's... making statements as well. It's scary stuff.
Do you have memories of the G20 weekend here from 2010?
Yeah, I didn't go anywhere downtown.
Right, and you remember the Jays were supposed to host the Phillies, and they were not allowed to. The Jays said, we can't guarantee anyone's safety, so Philadelphia held Jays home games that summer. First summer Roy Halladay's with Philadelphia. I also remember Germany beat England that day on the Sunday.
You have
that
good
weekend
memory.
World Cup. I totally
Look
remember that
you.
Game. That 4-2, 4-1 disaster. Well, when Lampard scored, made it 3-2. And it could have changed everything, but it didn't.
Yeah, but that was nothing like what's going on in Ferguson.
Well, no,
maybe
but,
a little
but,
bit.
But I think there's a level of anger. They arrested somebody from California yesterday. They arrested somebody from New York State. And there are people now clearly there who have no geographical relationship to Ferguson, Missouri before in the last week or will a week from now. And they're there that cause problems.
That's not, okay.
To start a revolution.
Yeah, the people who go there specifically to start problems, that's a problem. But I have no problem with people
I do want protection from them if I'm a resident.
Yeah, but I have no problem with people from around the country picking up this cause and showing up there, too, because I imagine there's a bunch of those people as well.
There are, well, absolutely, who want to do it peacefully. 549, up to a high of 22 degrees today. Let's do Now and Then.
Now and Then, a hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history.
I'll be back in time. A gentleman who throws a verbal Molotov cocktail around the office as well as anyone.
He sure he does.
I wouldn't know how to make an incendiary weapon. Like, do you have to be
easy.
Real good at chemistry?
No,
to
you
figure it all out. No,
listen. I'll tell you in the break.
You will?
Yeah.
Molotov cocktails have been around for 80 years, but I don't know the technology of it.
No, it's a bottle of booze with a rag in it. Really? Seriously?
Time
I think I had that last
glass
night.
Glass shanks, like prison glass shanks. I could do that. Oh, anything yeah. involving chemistry, no chance.
So this date in history, August 19th.
August 19th, the number one movie 35 years ago today, 1979. Apocalypse Now began its huge run at the box office. One of the weirder movies ever. I believe I owned the Redux version, which was an extra half hour of crazy. Did you like that movie?
I loved it.
Is it one of the craziest?
I did love it.
You're an errand boy.
That's an unbelievable. Like, you even younger as, like, Dennis Hopper was young, well, youngish for that movie. Lawrence Fishburne was a kid in that movie. But look,
right.
You got, when you get Marlon Brando, Robert Duvall, and Martin Sheen, and Martin Sheen was just amazing.
Yeah, there's some crazy stories about the making of that movie, too, right? Like, Martin Sheen was out of his gourd.
There were leeches.
He had like a heart attack or something because of all the pressure and the weird.
Yeah, was there drugs involved?
I'm certain there was drugs involved.
Did you ever hear the joke? There was somebody who made a joke about Martin Sheen and Apocalypse Now while working with Emilio Estevez on the film. And because of the name difference, they had no idea Emilio Estevez was Martin Sheen's son.
So Emilio Estevez was.
I'm trying to think who did that. It might have been a Rob Lowe's book, but it wasn't Rob Lowe that said it. I can't remember who it was.
Emilio.
Story for another day. Or come meet me at Young and Dundas in a couple hours and I'll tell you who it was. I don't know. Good to you.
That Rob Lowe book was okay.
It was a second book.
What?
He's written a second book?
He had two.
I didn't know he wrote one.
Maybe I read the second. Now I'm confused.
Stories I only tell my friends.
There you go.
He talks about his ladies of the night.
Well, there's a lot of ladies for Rob Lowe. It's not Scott Baio stuff, but it's close. Mm.
1988, the New York Rangers signed Guy Lafleur after he took, like, about three seasons off or something. I don't know. Greg, you're old. Tell us about that time.
Well, he came back with Quebec for one thing. Came back with the Nordiques after that. He played 1 year with the Rangers, but still scored 45 points in a 67-game season while being 37 years old.
And
maybe
smoking,
that tells you how easy it was to score in the 80s.
A carton of cigarettes every day.
Because he was done like dinner with the Canadians after about 1984. When he was like 31, he was sort of finished with them.
Rick Natras was some great Guy Lafleur stories.
I don't know how there wouldn't be. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's way cooler than you.
Quite a legend.
2005. I don't really recall this. It was a series of strong storms that lashed against southern Ontario, damage of $500 million. It was called like the supercell or something. Do you remember this?
What year?
2005?
No, I don't remember that at all.
I didn't either.
Hold on. It was... Really?
Yes.
Summer storms? Oh, you know what? No.
Yes,
I don't.
I don't know.
No. I remember the big storm. Game 5. It was supposed to be Game 5 of the World Series. Tigers and Giants. But that was what? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
So there was a big storm here when that happened?
Yeah. It was a big wind storm.
But there was no Game 5. Thanks for reminding me.
I had tickets to Game 5.
Oh, you're going
to
go?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Didn't go.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, when Jim Leland's managing the team, it's best not to buy late season series.
And same with Brad Ausmus.
Don't buy any playoff tickets.
All right, birthday time. It's Bill Clinton's birthday.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yes, Bill Clinton is 68.
That's correct.
He is
really?
Right. Craig Brady. Also,
I would have thought he was way older than that.
Usually. Well, the white hair. Being president turns you white.
I guess.
Look at Obama. Obama looks like he hasn't slept in 3 days. He was sleeping yesterday during his media conference.
I haven't slept in 3 days.
No, you haven't either.
How about I don't know how this guy sleeps tonight. Charles Wong, the owner of the Islanders. It's his birthday. What's worse, being an Islander fan or a Leaf fan? I was debating this with somebody
over
recently.
If you're my age, you've got four cups.
Yeah, four in a row, right?
And all these Hall of Famers that played their whole career there.
But it's like, you got
so
four
it's the
cups. That's what I think.
You're way more tortured if you're the Leafs. You're just kind of a punchline.
Yeah, but you're losing your team. I mean, it's going to Brooklyn, right?
That's not that far away.
But he's
keeping it.
He's keeping it. Well, yeah, if you live on Long Island, you could still make the commute. It adds four. It's like them taking Toronto out of the ACC and moving them to
Oakville.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly.
I'd be all for
How
that,
old do you
by
think,
the way.
Charles, by the way, Wong. Hey, Wong, what's with the pitchers? It's a parking lot. Can't beat that.
He's 53.
No,
oh, God, no,
Ben. That is an awful
71.
Answer. 70 is the correct
70?
Answer.
Oh, my God, I almost went through.
And happy birthday to Matthew Perry of Friends and some bad romantic comedies. He's 45 today.
Big Senators fan.
And obviously, one of Greg Brady's favorite. Well, the number one song in 1994 is Lisa Loeb with Stay.
Right, from the movie Reality Bites. Oh my heavens, with Ethan Hawke and Winona Ryder was like cute as a button. All she was smoking in the movie.
That's a real big bugaboo for you.
It really
is.
If there was a male friend you could spend the weekend with, like as a guy thing, she got Schwimmer, Perry, LeBlanc.
LeBlanc. Yeah.
Where are you going?
It's LeBlanc by
default.
I think
Schwimmer is kind of interesting.
Well, I guess, you know, he was pretty good on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes, he was. LeBlanc would just do the, hey, how you doing? He'd just do that all weekend. You could tell. 5:56. Thanks, Fabs.
He's hot.
He is hot. It's Brady and Walker. Greg Brady, Ben Ennis. We'll dive into what happened in the AL last night that helped the Blue Jays and hurt the Blue Jays. They're on the field tonight against the Milwaukee Brewers. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Will the Jays snap out of their cold streak in Milwaukee?
Big league ball players, you're in a pennant race. Got to find a way to get it done. Plain and simple. I mean, they just flat out are not playing well. Every day that they don't gain ground, they're losing ground.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Greg's on Tim and Sid yesterday. It's Brady and Walker, Greg Brady and Ben Ennis. Welcome to the show. It's a Tuesday morning, a high of 22 degrees anticipated today. Day two of that second Union Station platform. And the Baltimore Orioles grabbed a victory last night to send the Jays back to 8 games behind them in the AL East. But as Ben just mentioned, mixed blessings. Seattle lost to the woebegone Philadelphia Phillies in Pennsylvania 4-1 last night. So that's a very helpful result from the wild card perspective. Good morning, everybody. And Ben, this does certainly delineate that people are saying, that's not a bad morning, which basically tells you that the vast majority of logical Blue Jays fans have just they've already watched the division sail away. So
it's
just a ship going that much further away, 8 games back with 37 to play.
And Chris Sale yesterday started for the White Sox. Let's not forget that.
And the Jays got to avoid him,
which was
supposed to be a good thing.
Yeah, the Blue Jays avoid Chris Sale in the final game of that series. They still lose the rubber match, and they figure, here's bonus. The Orioles get to face Chris Sale in game one of the series. Nope, 8-2, and Nelson Cruz, remember how much he was struggling when the Blue Jays faced the Orioles in that 3-game set at Rogers Center? Well, he just hit home run number 32, leading the American League yesterday. And Nick Markakis, couple of huge plays in this game. Did you see the home run robbing catch in right field, plus hit a home run? I mean, it's the Orioles are they're waving the magic
wand. I know you think you're doing it all with mirrors.
It is. No, not mirrors. Magic, Greg.
It's really
magic.
Not sure about that. Adam
magic.
Jones. Remember all the, Colby Rasmus. I'm not sure who I'd rather have, Colby Rasmus or Adam Jones. those were conversations
on this radio station
13 months ago.
Greg, no. I still would have had last season. Colby Rasmus had a better year than Adam Jones, okay? Will you at least give me that?
That would never make him a better player. That would never make him a better baseball player, and have him.
Last year I would have.
Well, how big a sample size you want to go down?
Well, okay, last year he had
year. Brett Laurie can have a better week than Manny Machado sometime.
A week and it's an entire season is a different thing. Also, I think it more just talks about how underrated Colby was last year. Now, this year he's been atrocious, okay? I'll give you that. Okay, he's been atrocious. Last year he was quite good.
But I think Baltimore's good. These guys are – Bud Norris,
news.
Again. Not
breaking.
Okay, fine. You're not doing it out of nowhere. He was the best thing on a terrible Astros staff for years and has been highly sought after in trades long before Baltimore acquired him last year.
Should we be talking about the Orioles as like a World Series? Like,
well, that's the weird thing about it is, don't you think, this year it seems there don't seem to be juggernauts. Like the Yankees even played Baltimore 2 years ago, and we giggle now about the Yankees. The Yankees were heavy favorites to beat Baltimore 2 years ago. They were the division winner. Baltimore's the wild card. And you just thought, well, they're going to crunch them. And my recollection is it went 5 games. The Yankees won the decider. Well, Baltimore made it interesting.
And we all thought that the heavy hitters were going to be Detroit and Oakland. Now, Detroit could not even make that one-game playoff, and it could be the Oakland A's. Right now, the Oakland A's are set up to play in that one-game playoff against either Detroit or Seattle. So you might not even have to go through those tough rotations in the first round of the playoffs with the Orioles.
They both kind of have patsies, if you will, record-wise. Oakland are at the Mets. They'll play at Citi Field, three games starting tonight. And the Angels game was on Sportsnet last night against Boston. Well, put it this way. If the playoffs started right now, you'd have the Angels as the one seed. Baltimore is the two. Baltimore would play Kansas City, and the Angels would play the winner of the wild card, which now would feature Oakland and also feature the Seattle Mariners. So you'd have an all AL West wild card, which of course is everybody's fear in Toronto and New York and Detroit. That's what will happen.
And you would take out one of the best pitching ball clubs if it was Oakland and Seattle facing off in that one game playoff. That one game playoff might just never end. It might just be 0-0 into the 25th inning.
So I wasn't happy with it. I mean, the idea to go back in time, and you can't always do this.
You can't?
You can't. There's not always a DeLorean with a flux capacitor.
All right.
But you go back to June 8th, and the Blue Jays had actually lost the series. They'd lost the rubber match of the series against the St. Louis Cardinals. But they sat 38-26, 5.5 games ahead of Baltimore, who were 31-30. Since that day, Baltimore has been 40-22, and the Blue Jays have been 26-35. It's 13.5 games gained by the Orioles, basically in the span of 9 weeks. But honestly, back then, if someone had magically come down from the heavens above and said, "All right, godlike figure here, I know you're 5.5 games up right now, but sign on the dotted line, and I'll give you the second wild card spot, and you'll have to go play Anaheim or Oakland." Every Jays fan is like, "Ah, there's the door. There's the door. Person in a robe with sandals or Birkenstocks floating in front of me. No chance. We're locking. We're already printing AL East banners and T-shirts and hats.
Sad sack. Toronto sports fans though probably would have taken it, Greg.
Because no, this they is what happens.
No, they would have. They would have. This city's sad sack. Yeah, the trapdoor was
with 98 games left. They're going to foresee an absolute. I mean, see, it's been spread out so far over time. It's not to me an absolute collapse. This is not the Leafs losing 12 of their last 14. It's not. Baltimore gained, I just said, they gained 13.5 games over 9 weeks. That's still a pretty, especially given how warm the Jays were out of the All-Star break, winning 9 of 11 or whatever it was they won.
Yeah, they won those four straight series.
Beating the Yankees a lot, yeah.
Before losing three straight in Houston. Well, here's an amazing stat for you, Greg, talking about the Baltimore Orioles. You know the last time they lost three in a row this season? Late May was the last time the Baltimore Orioles lost three straight. So, yes, part of it is the Blue Jays collapse, and it's hard to ignore the way they've played recently. But give credit to the Baltimore Orioles, who just refused to lose, and that magic.
This has been 75% the Orioles going and getting this, and 25% the Jays kind of blowing it, playing 400 baseball. But, if Baltimore walks away and There's a very small likelihood that nobody wins divisions by double-digit games. It happens rarely, and usually it's only one of the six and once every couple times a year. But the AL East looks like a division it could actually happen in. 6:09, don't forget game time tonight, a little later than usual. So an extended pregame right after primetime sports with Mike Wilner between 7 and 8. And then on sports, since the Blue Jays and the Milwaukee Brewers. And as Ben mentioned, the newly found Mike Fears, who had 14 Ks against the Cubs in his last outing. I know a lot of people listening could strike out 5 or 6 Cubs in a game, but Mike Fears struck out 14 against Jay Happ. Let's do it. 6:10, our Tuesday morning six-pack.
This is your Tuesday morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
Greg, number six, Rafa Nadal. Still hurting with that wrist injury. He will now miss the U.S. Open. He's the defending champ at Flushing Meadows. Hasn't played since he was shocked by Nick Kyrgios at Wimbledon. Of course, that worked out pretty well for Milos Raonic because he didn't have to play Nadal. Ended up getting to the semifinals. But one of the big three is gone from Flushing, so I guess that's good news for Raonic and the other three?
Bumps up Milos Raonic to 5. Okay, in the seeds. You'll have probably Djokovic, Federer at the bottom end, so you can't have a Djokovic, Federer semifinal. Probably Stan Wawrinka, David Ferrer, and then Raonic fifth. It also bumps Andy Murray up to 8, and I'd say that's significant because I'm not sure any of the big boys want to play Andy Murray in the fourth round as opposed to a quarterfinal.
Yeah, it's changes the dynamic for sure there.
But and you're going to have Raonic potentially play a Varenka or a Ferrer in the quarterfinals, and if he can make it that far, he'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely will. He's already played in four semifinals this season. Number five, Chelsea getting their season underway yesterday. They went down 1-0 to Burnley, and the upset was on, except they scored three straight goals, including a beautiful passing play capped by Andre Schürrle's goal. That was spectacular.
Burnley's right? plan to kick the ball out of bounds for the remaining 76 minutes after their goal went poorly at best.
Yes, they could be headed down. Number four.
Do you think that's a mentality, though? When you're even at that level, are you stalling, thinking we're up on Chelsea? Yeah. Waste time.
How can you
we're
not?
Only 14 minutes in.
How can you
Don't
not?
Don't let
right?
them have the ball at all.
Right. Yeah. It's happened before. Number four. The Washington Football Club that plays in Washington beat the Cleveland Browns 24-23 preseason action. Johnny Manziel, 7-16, 65 yards. His first score as well. That was better than Brian Hoyer, who was just 2-6 for 16 yards. But the story of this game, Johnny Football getting his obscene gesture on, flipping the bird. And here is Johnny post-game talking about that.
Words exchanged with me throughout the entirety of the game, every game, week after week, and should have been smarter. It was a Monday Night Football game. I mean, the cameras were probably solidly on me, so I just need to be smarter about that. Felt like I did a good job of holding my composure throughout the night, and you have a lapse of judgment and slip up.
Yeah, you think the cameras are going to be on you? That was, I mean, I don't think
on,
it was that
also
serious.
Also during the Sunday games as well.
Yeah,
and Thursday night yeah. NFL Network games.
And when you walk out of your apartment because you're Johnny Football.
So he's 21, and in his basically second preseason game, he's gotten rattled enough to the point where...
Yeah, that's bad, right? It's not
it's
good.
It's not a good sign.
It's not ideal.
I'm not offended by the finger, but it's not a good sign that he had to do it.
Joe Theismann tweeted that Johnny Football needs to Johnny think a little better.
It's not bad.
Number three, Maple Leafs unveil their broadcast schedule. Sportsnet 590 The Fan have the season opener Wednesday, October 8th. It's just 50 days from now. Leafs hosting the Canadiens. 56 games on Sportsnet. Fan has 41. Joe Bowen coming up later today, 8:40. We'll talk to him. He will call all of the games on radio on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Also, Maple Leafs signing William Nylander to that entry-level contract. Number two, in the American League wild card race, the Seattle Mariners fall after beating the Tigers 2 out of 3. They fall in Philadelphia. Big junkyard dog Jerome Williams carrying a three-hitter late into this game as the Mariners now fall back into a tie for that second wild card with Detroit. The Blue Jays 3.5 games back. Yankees 3 games back. And the number one thing you need to know, the Blue Jays back to work tonight as they start a mini little two-game series in Milwaukee. Keep mentioning it. They like their beer. They like the cheese there. It's Jay Happ against Mike Fiers. 7 o'clock pregame, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. 7:30 on Sportsnet. The Brewers playing some pretty good ball right now, Greg. Lead the Central by 2.5 games. They've won 4 straight. 7 of 10 as well.
Fascinating story. Pittsburgh lost again last night to Irvin Santana, so they've lost 6 straight and are slipping badly. Since that Andrew McCutcheon injury against the Diamondbacks when he got drilled in the solar plexus.
Yeah, it was a rib injury there. Yeah. Mm. Kirk Gibson taking some heat for that one as well.
Milwaukee, it's another first-place team. The Jays have a good record against teams that are in first place when they play them, but all that matters is what happens in August now, not what happened in May and June. So we've got the game, as Ben mentioned, at 8 o'clock. Coming up at 6:22. We go to Ferguson, Missouri. It's very much transcending over into sports, into entertainment. A story that is keeping people up at night. We'll give you the latest that what happened last night at 6:22, as we mentioned.
Brady and Walker continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Does not sit well, and I was informed of it after the game, and it's disappointing. I mean, because what we talk about is being poised and being focused to maintain your poise. That's a big part of all football players, especially the quarterback, that we have to keep our composure. So that's something that we'll obviously address with them.
It's been a long go for folks in Cleveland. When it comes to the Browns specifically, it's been ages since they were very good. And a lot of teams in their division have been very, very good as well. Ravens going and winning a Super Bowl, a couple in the last 10 years. Steelers being very good in the Bengals playoff team the last 3 years. The Browns have been definitely the ugly dog in that foursome in the AFC North. Last night, though it's preseason, didn't solve anything, so it would seem, in the quarterback battle. And we'll get to the gesture. Greg Brady, Ben Ennis. That's Ben. I'm Greg. The final was 24-23 for Washington. Johnny Manziel was 7 of 16, 65 yards, was sacked three times. That's going to be a growing concern, is his ability, his non-ability, inability to get rid of the football when he needs to. And Brian Hoyer was 2 for 6 and didn't look very good as well. I guess you'd call him the incumbent. But they have been, you know, we talked to a radio guy in Dallas yesterday, Gavin Edwards. Tony Romo was the guy there. You look around the league, I'd say out of 32 cities, 28, 29 teams, it's not even debatable. There's no controversy.
Yep.
Even a guy, a Phillip Rivers, a Jay Cutler, scenarios like that, a Matt Ryan, there's nothing those guys can do to lose their – Matt Schaub was a dramatic fall from grace last year for a guy who'd been to the playoffs before. But Cleveland's about as wide open as it gets, and it's not even like you got two good answers where it's like, hey, Alex Smith or Colin Kaepernick. This isn't like that.
No, you need to see more if you're Mike Pettine. I would put Jacksonville in that group as well, like Bortles.
Yep, Minnesota with Bridgewater and Matt Castle.
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones, actually. And we thought this was going to be a good one because I know Brian Hoyer's not a standout stud quarterback, but he showed glimpses before he went down with an injury last year. He was horrible yesterday. Now, both gents were horrible. If I'm Mike Pettine, I know he said he was going to make his decision on who's going to start week one today. You can't. You need to see more, don't you, Greg?
They got two more games. They'll play at home against St. Louis. They have the two home games. So their home fans in Cleveland haven't seen these guys play yet and haven't seen Johnny football. St. Louis Saturday wraps up with Chicago a week Thursday. And that, as we all know, that third preseason game is the game where you play your starters a good chunk, two and a half, three quarters, get them the reps they need. And then Thursday, it's cross your fingers, play the subs. You might have some special teams battles, maybe some battles for the fourth receiver and the third tight end, and you let those play out in the fourth game. So Saturday should really tell the tale. But of course, yeah, you're right, Ben. I don't know how Mike Pettine could come down today and say, well, I looked at the film, and I am sure that we should start Brian Hoyer in Pittsburgh.
Connor
Sunday,
Shaw.
September.
Connor Shaw lighting the world on fire, 8-9, 123 yards, and that big touchdown pass, Hail Mary at the end of the game. He's your surprise week one starter.
You just get the back of Steinbrenner said, my football people said Connor Shaw.
Brian Shaw.
That's what they saw.
Connor Shaw.
So, and then we get to the gesture. Johnny Manziel running, in essence, off the field, was hearing stuff from some of the Washington defensive players. And he basically threw the finger with his right hand. It was quite a maneuver. He was actually jogging with his left hand and threw the finger almost over his shoulder. But television obviously caught it. He was told that it got caught on television. I also think this is a quarterback thing, isn't it? If a cornerback did this, if a wide receiver did this, you know what I mean? There's less of a leadership. If Randy Moss had done this his rookie season, because look at what Randy Moss did. We didn't see a quarterback pretend to pull down his pants and moon all of Lambeau Field. We saw a wide receiver, and we giggled about it on Monday. But don't you think...
Not Joe Buck. His head exploded.
He's a very moralistic person. But don't you think on Monday, if that had been... I forget who threw that ball at that time. I don't think it was Dante Culpepper. So let's say the Vikings quarterback had run to the end zone, pretended to pull down his pants.
Yeah.
We talk... They're a poorly led football team here. You can't have that. It's unacceptable. But because Randy Moss did it, do you think this is quarterback specific where they just say, you can have a lot of guys in the field actually do this and they'll be fined for it. Guys get fined for obscene gestures, but you can't have your rookie quarterback do it.
Sure, it's a quarterback thing partly, but it's more a Johnny football thing though, isn't it, Greg? I mean, Johnny Manziel's got to understand that the spotlight's on him no matter what he does at all times, whether he's on the bench. I mean, the ISO cam, I bet you a camera did not leave him from when he came out of that tunnel onto the field till he went back into the tunnel after the game was over.
They'd always have one camera. I mean, they got 13 cameras doing the game.
He's got to know that, and I'm sure he did. Well, at least it's a learning experience if he didn't know that. And, yeah, I mean, is it the same scenario? Are we talking about it in the same terms? If it's Tom Brady, I think Tom Brady's almost earned the right to flip a few people off today. I don't think it's the same conversation.
The mini controversy was, if I recall, he was yelling... Bill O'Brien, when he was the quarterback's coach, was yelling at Brady on the sidelines, and Brady just started yelling back. But nobody says it's a little like Jay Cutler. People are all in on Jay Cutler, criticizing him a couple of years ago because he's grabbing offensive linemen and telling them how it has to be. But if a receiver, we all expect receivers to yell at quarterback. It's the Keyshawn Johnson, just get me the damn ball principle. And we're like, hey, he's aggressive and he wants the football. We've praised Chris Carter and Michael Irvin. and plenty of receiver. Terrell Owens for mostly praised them for having that attitude. So here's a quarterback that's got a little more of a receiver attitude, to be honest.
Well, and part
I'm not
of this,
defending it, you can't make that gesture. But I don't think we should be. We're not suddenly suggesting the Browns blew it by drafting him. It's a learning experience.
Well, part of it is expectations as well, because a lot of people expected this type of behavior from Johnny Manziel, and they're able to point the finger and say, see, he's going to be a clubhouse cancer. He's going to kill your team with his actions on the field, off the field, what have you. And for Johnny Football, he's got to know that this is coming. People want to jump on him. They want to kill him. They want to say, hey, this is exactly what we expected. This is why he fell to the late 20s in the draft.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's gonna sort of hit more today. Brian Hoyer was more polite than Johnny Manziel on the field last night, but didn't play any better. So they've got some things to think about. We'll touch on the scenario in Ferguson, Missouri, in a little bit. Just to reset from yesterday afternoon, the big announcement: the Leafs' regular season schedule was already out. But the broadcast games were announced, and we've got the home opener and the season opener right here against the Montreal Canadiens Wednesday. This is 7 weeks and one day from today, Wednesday, October 8th. And then the Leafs are in Pittsburgh, and we'll have that game as well on the 11th, as a matter of fact, on the Saturday night. And we'll talk to Joe Bowen at 8:40. It's Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph calling all 41 games right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Paul Romanuk will be one of the regional announcers. So when the games are on Sportsnet Ontario, you've got Paul Romanuk and Greg Millen. It's something a little different. And I'll say this, it'll take some, everybody likes what they like. And you get used to a routine with your broadcasters. And it'll take some time for people. Joe Bowen's been on television since I can remember watching the midweek games, when you only could get a couple, like when maybe 50 of the 82 Leaf games would be on. So that'll be a bit of a transition, but he also sounds great on radio.
Oh, I love him.
People love him on radio.
And him and Jim Ralph, I mean, that's as good a combo as you're going to get. I think, you know, everybody knows that Joe Bowen has a certain shtick, right?
He's the voice of the Leafs.
All right. He's never going to be a national hockey guy because he's a Leafs guy, and we associate him with his broadcasting of the Leafs. But one of the things I love about the announcing teams that I love, Joe Bowen, Jim Ralph among them, the guys in San Francisco who do the Giants games, Crook and Kipe, Mike Kruko and Dwayne Kuiper. They have great chemistry, and they don't take it too seriously. Like, Joe Bowen can have his serious moments and serious points of the game, but I love how him and Jim Ralph go back and forth and are able to make fun of each other. That's the kind of stuff I love in sports broadcasting.
Yeah, there's Jim Ralph's legendary. He's been legendary in the banquet circuit. His impressions are fantastic. If you ever need a good joke about divorce, I mean, just listen to the broadcast
for
a good 3 or 4 minutes. And I wasn't implying anything, but just in case, that, you know, it's just something to jot down the line if something happens in the future, right? Maybe
have it in your back pocket.
If there are more nights like this where you just don't come home to the Ennis household in the evening after transitioning from television to radio all in a 9 hour span.
They're starting to get to know me over the grand.
That could happen. So last night in Ferguson, while you were busy being a TV guy, it kicked off again in Ferguson, Missouri. They arrested 31 people overnight. Two people were shot, although they believe by people who aren't the police and aren't the National Guard. And the quote that leads CNN this morning is a Missouri State Highway Patrol officer who came in, and they've brought obviously police in from everywhere, St. Louis County Police, to try and help here. His quote, this has to stop. The quote from Ron Johnson, Missouri State Highway Patrol. Didn't he manage the Jays around 2000? Was that the same
Tim Johnson?
Okay,
that's
different
Tim Johnson. Yeah.
I'm telling you, we're going to make this neighborhood whole. I am not going to let criminals that have come out here from across this country or live in this community define this neighborhood and define what we're going to do to make it right. And he's been chosen, handpicked by their governor, their state governor, Missouri Governor Jay Nixon, to head up security operations. We were talking, Ben, about this before. I don't quite know how this ends. I have a good concept, or we're all guessing at what happened in this scenario here with the young man being shot. And I would deem it extremely excessive force from the cop, but I would also deem that there clearly was something that transpired physically.
Well, yeah.
That's my perception between the deceased and the cop. But again, that doesn't And there was the robbery footage. There's the marijuana report yesterday. None of this justifies the methods of the police officer in gunning this young man down. That's my perception of the case. I guess what I'm saying is I don't know how, with this situation deteriorating as it has, I don't know how it gets solved anytime soon, because it's months from being going to trial and months from picking a jury and months from being solved.
Well, and it doesn't seem like it's slowing down either. I mean, the images that we see every day, it seems like if they're not getting worse, I mean, half the town gets arrested every night. There's tear gas. There is shots being fired in both directions seemingly every day. It seems like more and more people are showing up in Ferguson as well, more and more media members. And with more and more eyeballs, there's it's just an increased scrutiny on the police. And with the increased scrutiny and the images of unjust actions towards unarmed and peaceful protesters, it's just going to inflame the situation more. I don't see how it stops unless there is a de-escalation, maybe in the amount of force that the police officers are showing there in Ferguson. But I'm not there, so I mean that's just my take from following it on Twitter. And granted, I think if you go through my Twitter followers, oh, it's sure. going to be very leftist leaning. But
and that said, television takes you there to the point where I'd probably consider it if I'm anything, I'm probably more left than right. But not necessarily when it comes to crime and punishment. So when I think about the shooting of Michael Brown here, there's every chance if this officer hadn't shot Michael Brown dead, that Michael Brown, for his actions, potentially could have been going to jail for a long time.
That's
if
fine.
He assaulted a police
Doesn't
officer.
Doesn't deserve to die.
If he reached for an officer's, exactly. And that's the big deal here. So I haven't been sucked in by the, this was a good kid who did nothing wrong. This is a kid who was off to college, and he's cool-headed, and he's a pillar of the community. I'm not buying all that. And that said, there isn't. It's very similar to how closely we all started to follow the Trayvon Martin situation with George Zimmerman. We said there's something really wrong here. Here you have a person who has nothing to do with law enforcement following a man. And eventually there's a scuffle, and eventually one man has a gun and one man doesn't, and the other man and a kid is shot dead because of how he looked. That's how I perceive that case.
The Sammy Yateem situation here in Toronto comes to mind.
On the streetcar.
On the streetcar, yeah. Sure, he had a knife and whatever. I mean, did he deserve to be shot 100 times when he was alone on a streetcar? I don't think so.
7 minutes from now, Phil Sims will take a stand. Tony Dungy will take a stand. Do we think all other football broadcasters will? We'll talk about that at 6:42, and best and worst on the way as well.
Prices like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, the Fan.
All right then, best and worst. Richard Marks, in about 5 minutes from now, we'll touch on the best and worst from Major League Baseball last night. There were 8 games to pick from, so we'll do best player, worst player, best win, worst loss. To reset it again, the Mariners did indeed lose Philadelphia. They'll be back at it tonight in the City of Brotherly Love. And the Yankees start a series, very intriguing one, with the Houston Astros. And this is where you kind of cringe if you're a Blue Jays fan. You're like, those damn Astros that took 3 or 4 from us, now they'll roll over like a sack of potatoes to the other contenders in the sacks of potatoes roll.
They're sentient sacks of potatoes rolling over. No, like my dog.
I don't like
who
doing
like
dead dog and dead cat things anymore.
Why's that?
Because I just love pets so much, and you probably do too. So yeah. I don't like swinging cats that have expired, and the rolling over like a dead canine doesn't really. Again, I've never been able to watch Old Yeller. They remade Old Yeller with a bunch of kids now, like Zac Efron and whatnot. I would not watch it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not watching Footloose, so why am I going to watch an Old Yeller remake?
They're not putting Zac Efron down, though, are they?
Okay, I don't think so.
No, I like dogs a little less now that mine got skunked and cost me
G-note. You're getting close to forgiving him, I think.
Maybe.
Put him in a dog show, and he'll start paying you back. He'll win Best in Breed. So now this, I'm not going to go too deep into this, but like I said, there's certain phrases that you realize over time you don't want to say. And I do realize here's the problem. I think we have something really important here with this this Washington nickname thing in the NFL. And something came up yesterday that we'll mention. But I also realize we live in a world where somebody asked me over the weekend, I was visiting, and someone's like, do you ever worry that something you say will on the radio will get misinterpreted and people will get offended? I'm like, welcome to life in general. Like, yeah. What can we joke about anymore?
No,
you
can't.
There a group I can... Other than white dudes can't dance, I don't know what I can say about anybody anymore. And I also realize that we're not on late night television. We don't have the rope. You don't, I don't, that a skit on Saturday Night Live does. Or going to see, you name it, Chris Rock, Dane Cook, whomever, live. They can pull stuff, Dennis Leary, they can pull stuff that we can't. That said, I do think... The Washington nickname is quite a derogatory, offensive slur. Would you say it to somebody in a conversation? No. So, that said, given the other 31 nicknames, I can say Dolphins, and not cringe, and I can say Vikings, and although they raped and pillaged.
There's no
getting around that.
Nobody did a funeral like them, though.
Nobody did. There's fire, there's boats.
Boats,
there's,
it's great.
Yeah,
it's a scene.
Cool water. But yesterday, CBS held this sort of open forum to say, hey, we're CBS Sports and this is what we'll be doing in the fall. So Phil Simms said yesterday, who's going to be doing Washington's Week 4 game, said he will not use the...
Are you going to say it?
The Redskin word.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
I haven't been saying it in the updates.
His quote, my very first thought is it'll be Washington the whole game. There are a lot of things that come up in a broadcast, and I am sensitive to this. Tony Dungy, who got in hot water last month for thoughts, religious-based thoughts on Michael Sam, his comment, I will personally try not to use Redskins and refer to them as Washington. Personal opinion for me, not the network. Now, I'm not a big fan. I don't know if I'm a big fan of a network saying, all our announcers, this is how you will handle this, because it is still a team nickname. And I slip and say it once in a while. And I slip and say many things once in a while. We don't have delete buttons here. We're not newspaper columnists. These are live microphones. But I'm also, I don't think CBS can force you to say, do you think CBS, Ben, could say to Phil Simms, I read what you said yesterday and we love you. You're our number one guy and all that. But you will use that nickname.
Yeah, they can't force it that way. I could say that they could force it the other way because to me, it's so offensive. And if I was... Native American, Native Canadian, I would be so offended. To me, I've stopped saying it. I didn't say it in the updates today. Even if just one person is offended by it, that's enough for me not to say it. And clearly, more than one person is offended by the nickname. And the handling of the whole controversy by that Washington Football Club has been such a joke with the websites and the fake supporters groups that they've sprung up all over the place. It's embarrassing. And I would, if I was one of these broadcasters, CBS, Fox, whatever, I would tell my broadcasters, hey, listen, we don't have to make a big deal out of this, but we're not saying it. That's what I'd do.
I mean, I remember finding out in probably deep in elementary school, like sixth or seventh grade, that people would tell me Eskimo is a term that if you use it, a Native Canadian or an Inuit person hates the term Eskimo. Mm-hmm. And yet we don't even give it a second thought as one of our eight. It has great tradition. If you tried to change it, there would be similar people in Edmonton and across Canada would say, that is no, proud and Warren Moon and Hugh Campbell and Jim Germany. You can't do that. And so I know where people are coming from, but I'm also like, why do you want to be on the wrong side of this? Why do you want to look back in 20 years and realize how wrong you really were? Why do you want to explain to your kids you were on the wrong side of something, like allowing two men to marry or two women to marry? Why do you want to be on the wrong side of this?
What's the downside in changing the name, in not saying? There's no downside to not saying it, to changing the name. I just don't see it. Why is there such a fight being put up by that side? I just don't see the positive. Again, yeah. Like if one person's offended, like even if it's one dude, right? Like, this is clearly an Eskimo. I'd never heard that before. I wasn't aware that that was an offensive term. But this is you don't have to be a brain surgeon. Everybody knows that this is offensive.
I don't know where they go, though. Boomer Esiason, got a lot of respect for him, says yesterday, that's the name of their team. That's what I'm going to use. Troy Aikman says, as long as the nickname is the Redskins, I'll continue to call them the Redskins. And again, I cringe with it. But I also recognize that in 2014, we're in a society where I could say, I have a friend who's black. And someone will go, oh, African-American. I'm like, no, he'd laugh at that. Forget it. I know him. It's the same as Native Canadian. No, he's Indian. Well, you know what I mean? And then they get confused as to what Indian I'm talking about. But I'm really everyone thinks a conversation about race is a racial or racist conversation. And it isn't.
In this country, we have a Department of Indian Affairs, too. So that's part of the technical reason, I guess. It is acceptable to use that term Indian, even though, I guess it can get confusing. I'm not sure. And part of this is that Native Americans, Native Canadians are such a small minority, and they're not very vocal about it. And the people are trying to find the vocal minority of that group that can come out and be the face of this anti-Washington nickname thing. It just hasn't happened, really.
No, and I know everyone says, what's next? Is it the Indians? Is it the Braves? Is it the Blackhawks logo in Chicago? A very proud logo that if you tried to take that away from Blackhawks fans, there would be, pardon the phrasing, a riot. People would be very upset about that. So everyone says, what's the line? Well, I don't know what the line is, but I know Redskins over it. I don't even doubt myself in that anymore. 6:51, let's do an edition of Best and Worst.
Best.
Bud Norris.
And Worst.
Bud Light Lime.
Oh, my heavens. Walker. What if you're really thirsty and it's only thing in your fridge except ice water? No?
What if you're a 29-year-old woman like my wife? She loves that stuff.
Get her a Twist Shandy or something like that. So we do best win, worst loss, best player, a worst player. Where would you like to begin this morning?
Let's begin best win, okay? I'm in the process of giving the Orioles their credit that they so justly deserve. They face Chris Sale, the White Sox. Guy's been one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. And they didn't light him up. Got him for 3 runs over 6 innings, but they explode for 5 runs in the 8th inning as well, en route to an 8-2 win over Chicago. And this is maybe would be a time for the Orioles to slump a little bit. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Indians before this series. But no, keep hitting home runs. Nelson Cruz with another one as well. And they beat Chris Sale and the White Sox yesterday.
Worst loss, Atlanta goes into Pittsburgh and wins 7-3. The Buccos have lost 9 of 11 and 6 straight. And you know how sometimes you miss an inning, you're parking your car and whatnot? That might have been a good thing if you're a Pirates fan. It was 6-0 Atlanta headed to the bottom of the first. And it really didn't matter what happened after that. So Pittsburgh's in some big, big trouble. Irvin Santana was good enough. Vance Worley was not. And despite a Starling Marte home run, Pittsburgh goes down to defeat. They're swooning after being in first place just for a hot minute about a month ago.
Yeah,
they're swooning out of this race.
Braves still swooning as well, although that helps get them back in the discussion, just a game back of that second wild card. I'll do worst player, Greg, and it's easy to point the finger at Johnny Manziel for the gesture and whatever during the 24-23 Redskins win over the Browns. See, I did it. I said I wasn't going to say it today, but I did because I'm looking at it. But I'm going to point the finger at Robert Griffin III. Needs a big comeback performance this season for that Washington Football Club. He was only 6 of 8 for 112 yards, but did have a pick. Didn't look overly great either. He hasn't impressed. A couple of balls I saw sailing over receivers' heads. Not a great indication for Washington headed into this season.
He's quietly fascinating only because everybody knew he was coming back too soon last year. I mean, everybody knew it.
He can't figure out how to slide either. A couple of times took big hits, and he didn't slide.
And that goes from his rookie season, racing around in that playoff game, hiding from the doctor in that playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks. Best player, it just took one crack of the bat, but Adam LaRoche, who was 0-for-4 going into the bottom of the 11th, hit a walk-off home run and a big one for the Washington Nationals. A lot of people love them to win the World Series 2 seasons ago. I mean, last year in 13. And kind of quiet this year. Everyone's all hyping the Dodgers. Atlanta back to form. But Washington's pulling away in the NL East, a 6-game lead. And the add of Doug Fister. Like, we talk about, could Justin Verlander not be in a Tigers postseason rotation? Would Steven Strasburg be down 4th in a Washington rotation, Ben? I mean, behind
It's very possible.
Gonzalez, potentially. Zimmerman. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very possible. How would Dave Dombrowski feel about Mr. Doug Fister hoisting a World Series trophy, maybe a World Series MVP? How would a Mr. Greg Brady feel
about
that? I love
Doug Fister. I'd love to see him get it. And Tanner Roark's had a very good season. We don't even mention him, do we?
No, I mention him because he's on my fantasy team, but maybe you don't. I do. I mention him all the time. Great, great dude.
Yeah. Gio Gonzalez, 4.06 ERA. Remember, Jays had that fascination with him. Jays fans had that fascination with Gio for a long, long time. But they might be as good 1-5 as anybody. Anybody in the National League, that's for sure. 6:55, it's Brady and Ennis on Brady and Walker. After 7 and 7 minutes, the Jays are back at it exactly where the math leaves them. Headed back into play tonight, a game that begins about 13 hours from now. Jays and Brewers from Miller Park against the NL Central leaders right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.